You're listening to the Primetime Roundup Podcast. And now here's your host, Walker.
It is episode 59. So glad to be here. The Primetime Roundup Podcast is back. I am Walker, your host, joined as always on the phone by TV enthusiast, fan, expert, and Fergie's old vocal coach. Welcome in, Rick Hammond, also known as the Moose. How you doing?
I like it. I like it.
Oh, listen, that was quite a performance by Fergie Ferg. I'm not sure exactly what she was going for with that version of the national anthem.
She got it, whatever it was. She did it.
We'll get into it. I want to get a little more in-depth into what happened on Sunday night, but first we want to talk about the Olympics. By the way, Primetime Roundup Podcast, we always talk about TV. That's our main focus here, but we also get into movies and sports occasionally. But the big thing that's been on everyone's television this week is the Olympics. Moose, it took the top 7 spots in the ratings. They were all Olympics.
Nice.
I've actually been more into it this year than normal. I finally figured out why. Normally during the Winter Olympics, I would be watching a lot of basketball. But since the Hawks just decided not to show up for this season, and my dogs have been struggling for the last month, I'm not watching a whole lot of basketball. So bring on the curling. What's been your favorite thing to check in on so far during the Winter Olympics?
Pretty much all the snowboarding. They've added a couple of new events. They've got the skiing on the half pipe. I like all that stuff. Pretty much all the X Games stuff.
I mentioned the Winter Olympics has the top 7 spots this week. Number 8 was The Bachelor, just in case you were wondering.
The funny thing is, you said that last time, that the ratings, but like I've been trying to figure out, because the coverage on NBC has actually not been that spectacular this year. It seems like every other Olympics, I know the summer, but I can't really remember 4 years ago to the winter, but they just pretty much cover it all day. And like they're not even covering it till 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And I've had many things where they're like, okay, here we are at the final jump of the women's snowboard. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, are they like, oh, here's the final race. You know, when you watch like the swimming in the summer, you watch all the build-up races. You watch all the quarterfinals and semifinals. And that way you can invest a little bit in the athletes and get your favorite. But now they're just like, oh, here's the final race. I don't know why the coverage is slim this year. And you say it's doing well in the ratings, and the only thing I can think was that they were trying to cut it down to get better ratings, but it doesn't seem to be struggling.
No, and I think overall the ratings are down a little bit from the last Olympic Games, but in the same way that the Super Bowl ratings were down a little bit this year, but it was still far and away the biggest thing going. And also right now, none of the other networks are even trying to pretend like they're competing. Now, the figure skating is what I've been most into, and I did want to point out, I don't know if you saw this, that now you can have lyrics in your music when you figure skate.
Yes.
Did you see the skater from Hungary who skated to AC/DC's Back in Black?
No, I didn't.
Outfit choice here was what I wanted to talk about. Fingerless gloves, leather outfit, studded belt, and an Angus Young back patch. So this may require a little more thought on your part. I probably shouldn't put you on the spot like this, but if you were going to do a skating routine, do you have a favorite metal song that you would like to skate to?
Yeah, I do think I need a little more time. That's pretty good.
Does the Ace of Spades work for you?
Nice. Oh, very good. Yeah, that'd be a good one. That's funny because this opens up a whole new ball game now, because I think it was the last Olympics where they opened up to be a little more progressive, and one girl did Shine On You Crazy Diamond, but of course it was no lyrics.
I mean, I'm sure there's some like Iron Maiden song that we could put together a routine to.
Sure.
All of their songs were about dragons and wizards and stuff, so I mean, it has to be theatrical, right?
Right, very theatrical, very dramatic. So,
what else did we see this week from the Olympics? I will say that you told me I cannot reveal a spoiler, which is the first time that you've ever told me that. So, whatever, you need to catch up on your Olympic coverage. So we won't talk about won't talk about hockey. However, we can talk about this. Keegan Randall and Jessie Diggins, first American women to ever medal in cross-country skiing. Keegan Randall is the only mom on the U.S. Olympic team this year. She's got a 22-month-old son, and this is her fifth Olympics. Way to go there. I remember having a 22-month-old son, and that I didn't have time to go skiing, that's for sure. Freestyle skier David Wise wins on the men's half pipe. Let's see. We even won a silver medal in women's bobsled, Moose. From the looks of it here, it's just all of the ladies that are taking home all the medals this week. So I'm in. I'm here for this. I like what I'm seeing. It almost started out a little slow for the U.S. winning medals, but it seems like we're accumulating them more day by day.
Yeah, they seem to be more in our wheelhouse now. They're doing the snowboarding and things like that. Yeah, when they were starting with short track and a lot of South Korean, a lot of Norwegian.
Yeah. Did you see the Shib Sibs, the brother-sister skating team?
I did, yeah. We watched that last night, yep.
I cannot imagine going out there and doing a routine like that where you're just throwing each other into the air.
With the danger factor, I don't know how. There's not broken necks out here every day on all of these events. I mean, these all look extremely dangerous. My wife pointed out last night we were watching the couples final. We actually watched that with the brother-sister, and like all of the girls had like bruises all up and down their legs.
Yeah.
Oh, like, sure. I hadn't even noticed that, but like, yeah, they're falling down.
Well, think how many falls we've seen throughout the Olympics so far with the skating. And here's something interesting that I picked up on. If you're just out there solo and you're doing your thing and you fall, they don't take that much of a deduction because you're trying a really hard trick. So, you know, they'd rather you try something difficult and fall than just not try anything difficult. Now, however, the ice dancers, if they fall, it's done. Somebody fell in like the first 20 seconds of their routine and they were like, oh, well, this is over. They might as well not even finish. I'm learning, man.
That sounds like my wife. Oh, I don't even know why they're finishing. They're done.
I learn a lot listening to Johnny Weir and who's his partner?
Tara Lipinski.
Yeah. I've learned quite a bit listening to them over the last couple of weeks. Let's move on and talk about the NBA All-Star Game over the weekend. A lot of great musicians were there. Jimmy Kimmel was there. A lot of movie stars were there. Jamie Foxx and Fergie was there. Fergie sang the national anthem, if you haven't heard it yet. It was a very jazzy, sultry version of the national anthem. What was she trying to do? Was she trying to just do something different or just take a chance?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of her shtick, isn't it? The, like, jazzy, like, isn't that kind of her thing?
Isn't she the same singer, though, that sang my humps, my lovely lady lumps? I mean...
Yeah, but to go back to that same album with that Big Girls Don't Cry, like, she does that jazzy, runny kind of... Yeah, I don't know. It was funny because when I first heard it, they were like, oh, Fergie can't sing and blah, blah, blah. So I go to look. She sings fine. There's nothing wrong with her voice. I just don't know what she was doing.
I said that during the morning show. I'm like, if you listen to the parts where she's actually trying to hit notes, she does that very well. But then she goes into this, and that's when it goes off the rails, and it's like it wasn't even on like the right cadence of the song. It's like Jimmy Kimmel said, he said, you know, next time you want to take some chances and take some risks with the national anthem, don't.
Yeah, I saw another one where it said, you know, if you're trying to seduce me, don't do it with the national anthem. Like just seductive way she was singing it. Like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Well, it, of course, brought up all the old, terrible national anthems from our childhood. I remember Roseanne Barr before a baseball game. But the difference with Roseanne Barr was that she was intentionally trying to be bad and disrespectful.
Well, right. Well, she's not a singer, and she can't sing. She barely has a tolerable speaking voice.
Right.
That was the whole point of her doing it, was for comedy, or at least that's the way she saw it.
Right.
Why else would they ask a comedian who can't sing to do it? So she went for funny. It didn't land, needless to say. But, yeah, at least she wasn't trying to be.
And I remember Carl Lewis from back in the 90s performing the national anthem at a Chicago Bulls game, and he was just terrible. But, again, he's not a singer.
Right, I don't remember that.
So maybe Fergie is like the worst national anthem for someone who's actually a singer. Give it that little caveat. Okay, worst national anthem I've ever heard by someone who actually sings for a living and makes money doing it.
And by all rights, a good singer, you know. Yeah. Like I said, for the most part, what I've heard of her is she can sing.
Otherwise, pretty entertaining basketball game, but I digress. Let's talk real quick about this. Over the weekend, I know that you and I have both wanted to check in on this show. I was intrigued by it from the beginning, the show Divorce on HBO. And it's one of those that just fell through the cracks for me. Like, I just wanted to see it, but never got around to it, and other things are happening. But I finally did get to see a couple of episodes over the weekend, and this is pretty good. I think that you would enjoy this. First of all, let me just say that Thomas Hayden Church and Sarah Jessica Parker, obviously they're both tremendous talents, but they work really well together. And I know you're a big fan of his.
Yeah.
Very intense in all the ways that you think that it will be. I will say that after even watching a couple episodes, it didn't leave me with this, like, oh, I've just got to have more feeling like you got with Game of Thrones or The Handmaid's Tale or something like that. This left me with a, yeah, I might come back for more of this, but I haven't exactly been sitting around in my office during the day thinking about what's going to happen on the next episode. So I think you'll like it if you ever get your HBO subscription hooked back up.
I think that's going to have to happen soon. I saw a trailer for a documentary on Andre the Giant coming in April, so
well, that's
I
right
think
up
that's
going
to have to happen. Yes.
Are they going to talk about how Andre the Giant used to drink like 72 beers in one night?
I think they are. One of the pictures they showed was him holding a can of beer and how it was like not even from top to bottom in his hand, like it was in the middle of his hand. And somebody said something about the legend of his drinking spree. So, yeah, I think that's in there.
Yeah, he's like a world famous drinker for those who don't know. I mean, you know, talking about hundreds of beers in a sitting.
Yeah, the story I heard was 117 beers on an airplane and then asked for wine with dinner.
Oh, nice. But when you weigh 600 pounds, I mean,
right.
You know, it probably
right. Well, again, they showed a can of beer in his hand, and it looked like a shot glass in mine. Like, I mean, can of beer is like a shot of beer to me.
Right.
I don't think I could drink 117 shots of beer either, but if I had to, I'd give it a try.
Let's not give it a try.
Let's not.
You know what? I would want to have you on the next episode after you drink 117 shots of beer. Maybe that's something for next week.
Next week? Okay, give me like a month at least.
One more thing I wanted to get to really quickly. I saw an interesting survey this week. Hospital dramas like Grey's Anatomy, they say that those shows are really making it a lot more difficult for actual hospitals and actual doctors to do their jobs. Because what happens on the show turns out is nothing like what happens in real life. They say that people on the show, especially Grey's Anatomy, but they cited several others, are sort of rushed through the process. They're rushed into the ER as quickly as they arrive, and then there's usually some like solid, definitive answer as to what's wrong with the person within like 30 minutes. And then typically by the end of the show, the person is either sent home or they're dead. I guess people are going into real hospitals wondering why they're having to wait so long because you know,
right.
and why they're sent home with no answer, because that's not how it is on TV. So should we blame Grey's Anatomy for our medical problems in this country?
And you know, personally, sometimes diagnoses can take a diagnosis can take, you know, months and
yes.
several different specialists to be discovered. Like, there's no, like, yeah, a cure in a minute. Like, of course not. But also, isn't that every television show? I think the exact same thing can be said for cop shows.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
For lawyer shows. On lawyer shows, every case goes to trial. within an hour.
Oh, right.
Like, my wife's a paralegal. 96% of cases don't ever see the inside of a courtroom.
Yeah, that makes sense. My follow-up question here is, what is your favorite medical drama of all time?
I mean, it'd have to be ER. I mean, I've got several, but ER just was really good. Even when it wasn't good anymore, it was still good, you know? I mean, even when all the original cast members had left, I think John Stamos showed up at one point.
Oh, no.
It was still a good show.
Yeah, I would go with ER as well, and I think the only reason I actually watched it is because it came on that Thursday night block after Friends.
Right.
So my TV was already tuned to NBC, and back in that era, we didn't have 9,000 other channels, so...
Right.
Usually I stuck with it. Yeah, I like George Clooney.
I mean, there's definitely been some other good ones. House was a really good show. I mean, the old school one, Saint Elsewhere, I think was the one that really set the bar for that kind of hospital drama.
I thought you would probably go with Saint Elsewhere when I asked that question.
I almost did, and for being one of the pioneers and really the first to do it. But ER took it and kind of went to the next level with it.
I will say Grey's Anatomy was pretty good for the first two or three seasons. I mean, we watched it. Mrs. Walker and I broke up with Grey's, I guess, after season three, and I haven't watched it since. I think they're on season 82 now. So it's been a while, but those first couple of seasons I really liked. Did you ever watch it?
Season 80. Something like that.
Season 82.
Yeah, I did. I watched like the first season, and I didn't quit watching because I hated it. I think my availability, or I forget, you know, I don't think I had a DVR yet, I think, is why I stopped watching it. I know by now I wouldn't still be watching it, but I did enjoy it the first season, I think, at least.
Well, people that love it, love it. A lot of folks have told me they're kind of with me. They stopped watching at some point, but those that are diehard fans are definitely still in it. Let's look ahead at some of the things coming up, because you know there's not much going on TV wise right now with the Olympics, but there's a lot happening soon. Saturday Night Live announced their host for the next few weeks. There's no new episode this Saturday, but a week from Saturday, March 3rd, you've got Charles Barkley and Migos. On March 10th, you get Sterling K. Brown, our favorite character, Randall, from This Is
Nice.
Us. He'll be joined by James Bay as the musical guest. And then on March 17th, you got the Arcade Fire and Bill Hader. Do you think that there's a chance that Stefan makes an appearance when when Bill Hader hosts SNL?
Yeah, probably a pretty good chance. You know, they were good to not ruin that character. They were good to not burn that one out and take it till we were sick of it. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance of that.
I will tune in just for that. And if they don't do it, I will be disappointed. I'm counting on you, Lorne Michaels. Make it happen for me. What does Charles Barkley bring to the table? Because I think Charles Barkley is actually a pretty funny dude. And I guess they always do the NBA guys anyway. Usually Kenan Thompson plays him. And I don't know who the guy is that plays Shaq. But
I don't think he's on there anymore.
They spoof that show anyway, so maybe they just have him play himself.
Or have him play. I love it when they have the person play someone else while...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he could play Shaq while they play him. I want to say he hosted back in the day. I think he hosted back when he was playing.
The Round Mound of Rebound was his nickname. All right, so we've also got the Oscars coming up a week from Sunday. Are we going to have another mix-up with the awards? Or have they fixed that, do you think, since last year? Best Picture goes to La La Land. I mean, Moonlight. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure they've taken precautions. You know, they said there was like extra envelopes, and he got the extra envelope from the last category. You know, I think there'd probably just be one envelope this year.
That would be helpful. And also helpful if the people in charge were actually paying attention, because if you remember from last year, the folks that were in charge of the envelopes were taking selfies in the back while all that confusion was going on stage.
I shouldn't hear that, actually.
Yeah, you had one job.
Right. I just wonder how many times they'll make fun of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy Kimmel's hosting, so you know he's going to.
Right.
I would like to see an over-under on that, how many times they joke about that. At least five. Walking Dead is back on this weekend. On a scale of 1 to Lucille, how excited are you about the return of The Walking Dead?
Yes, I'm ready. Want to see what they do with it. You know, I don't know how much longer I want to stay in this, like, dark, depressing place they seem to be in right now, but I'm still excited. More because I hope they're going to get us out of it soon, but who knows?
Feels like it's been in that place for about a season and a half, which is
right
how it goes in the comics. They're not deviating a whole lot from what the story is. It's called All Out War. It's a very dark place that they're in, but some people are turned off by that. I hope that we can move on from this plot line soon, at least maybe by the end of this season. I mean, we could start the next season fresh, you know, with all fun and happy stuff.
I don't think so.
That's not how it goes on this show. What's going on with you this weekend? Any big plans?
Try to catch up on these Olympics.
You got to watch some hockey, man.
I'm going to definitely watch some hockey. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm a little behind.
Any movies? You got any desire to get out and see Black Panther? Or?
We do, actually. Yeah, that might be a family event. It's very, 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 very rare in this family that we all want to see the same movie. So we are 3 for 3 on that one. So we are going to try to make that happen Sunday, actually.
All right, if you like what you hear, then click like. Click subscribe, give us some feedback, give us some comments, let us know what you like, what you don't like, or any other shows that you would like for us to get deeper into. You know, maybe we can talk about CSI or The Blacklist next week, Rick. I've got 10 episodes of The Blacklist on my DVR right now, so I'll really have to get to work.
Yeah, I actually could, because I think I was just about ready to put that one on the shelf, and this season has been one of my favorites.
There you go. All right, the Primetime Roundup podcast right there on iTunes. Click subscribe, and then that way we can find you. We'll talk to you next week.